Do you want to improve your entrepreneurial mindset? Learn new business skills? Understand marketing, digital, and the social media landscape? Then you are listening to the right podcast. Welcome to the Lebo Lion Show, the biggest marketing and entrepreneurship podcast on the African continent. Join me, your host, Lebo Lion SA, as we have courageous conversations with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and marketers that you should know. Subscribe to the Lebo Lion Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or SoundCloud to be the first to get a notification every second Tuesday of the month when we release a new episode. You can even tune in on YouTube at Lebo Lion SA to see a video version of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to the Lion Tribe. Yeah. Come let me teach you a lesson. Come let me teach you a lesson. Lebo Lion with the tweets. Follow me back to my nest. Lebo Lion with the podcast. Teach you lesson cause I got class. Lebo Lion with the impact. You be lying, that's a real fact. Come let me teach you a lesson. Come let me teach you a lesson. Lebo Lion with the tweets. Follow me back to my nest. Lebo Lion with the podcast. Teach you lesson cause I got class. Lebo Lion with the impact. You be lying, that's a real fact. And welcome to the Lebo Lion Show. I know we've had a 1 month hiatus, but I'm coming back to you with probably one of the most exciting podcast episodes of 2022. Because you guys know the conversations we've been having on Twitter, on Instagram about 4IR, and you've been saying to me, Lebo, we need to have this conversation in a way that's actually understandable for us, that makes us understand how 4IR truly impacts our lives, right? So I listened, I'm delivering, UJ listened, they're delivering, so we're about to have a really cool conversation with two extraordinary individuals about what 4IR really looks like in Africa, what it looks like in your life as a student, as a professional, as an entrepreneur, and how you can rethink and reimagine the world knowing what 4IR is, understanding what it can do for you. And you know, in my time being a UJ ambassador and learning about 4IR, I've been so amazed and inspired by the work that has been achieved by people who actually understand what 4IR is. I know I've shared some videos of people in villages and how UJ's helped them, you know, transform that village, creating entrepreneurship, improving education. So many things can become possible when you use 4IR. And I know this sounds a little bit advertising, but it's not. I'm literally speaking about things that I've been sharing online that I've been inspired by, and I'm hoping that after this podcast you'll be just as excited about 4IR as I am and as my guests are. So without further ado, you guys know how we are on this podcast. We don't introduce our guests, they introduce themselves. So let's start with Dr. Tebogo Mashifana. Please introduce yourself, beautiful lady.
Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tebogo Mashifana. I'm currently serving as the head of Department of Chemical Engineering here at the University of Johannesburg. I am a senior lecturer and also a researcher.
Senior lecturer. I know a lot of people, when they hear that, they're like, oh my goodness, we're about to be schooled here. Should they be afraid?
Not at all. I think really the conversation today is to make it as simple as possible. And I think our intention is that at the end of this conversation, the person that is listening should actually be able to explain what 4IR is to a 5-year-old. So no, it's not going to be complicated at all.
I love it. Thank you. And our next guest is Patrick Makubalo. Patrick, please introduce yourself.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much, colleagues. I can see you excited. You're looking to hear from me. Okay, I'm Mr. Patrick Makubalo. I'm from Benoni. Currently, I'm working in the FDG as assistant lecturer in the Faculty of Education. Yes, I'm lecturing ICT. It's part of 4AR, so I'm on the right track.
Yes.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Patrick. Guys, you know, the two guests we have today are really cool because I feel that they represent different audiences and they represent people who are just like me and you, right? And this is important because so often we think that 4IR is so detached from us as individuals, but actually it's not. So, Dr. T, can I call you Dr. T? Dr.
Yes.
T, tell us about your background. Where do you come from? And how did you even get into 4IR?
I'm from a small village. I call it a small village. I don't know why. Small village called Sisakwane in Limpopo. I actually joined the University of Johannesburg as a student. So I started here. When I started working here as a tutor, like some years ago, and I started serving as the 4IR ambassador. I think in 2020. Yes, that's why I started serving as the 4IR ambassador. But I'm a village girl, and I always say that because that is very important. Like, I think we have said it correctly at the beginning, that most of the times when people start using these terms, people even think that 4IR is just a buzzword. And for me, it's important to mention that I'm from a village because those are the places where young people do not have, or they do not have access to all these exciting opportunities. So you have high school learners that are still going to high school, still want to do careers that will not even exist in the future. So it's important that we have this conversation and we actually educate the public so that they know that, I mean, the careers that used to be there in the past, they may not even exist in the future. So how do you better prepare the young people, especially the ones that are in the village that know nothing about 4IR? So that they do not get to the University of Johannesburg, they're actually shocked when they get here because, like, wow, what is all this 4IR and everything, you know?
I love what you said about future careers, right? Because that's really the core of this. How do you adapt to the future? How do you move with it? And 4IR is that tool that's going to help us do that. And I'm going to ask you more questions about what you said, but I just want to know from Patrick, tell us where you're from.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, my colleague. Yes, I'm from Watville,
okay.
Benoni. I came here at UJ in 2016 as a student.
Yeah.
I was doing my first year here in the Faculty of Education. So during the process, I became interested in 4IR because maybe I was doing ICT. And if I was doing ICT, I learned a lot about theories under 4IR. That's how I became interested because my own vision was seeing education being improved
through
the integration of technology. Why? Because if we say 4IR, if we say that we need to prepare our students for the future world or for the skills for the changing world, that means we have to teach them these skills that came 4IR. Technology, content, theory, skills for the changing world, soft skills, and so forth.
Yeah.
So my vision is about seeing students being prepared for the future world, competency skills. That's why even now I'm in the project of robotics and coding, because these are the tools that now are being introduced by the Minister of Education to prepare learners from intermediate phase to higher education.
Yeah.
So yes, that's what I know.
That is very cool. You spoke about robotics. To me, that is such a grand concept, right? When you think about it, you think about that robot that can talk. I think in Dubai, the first lady who can talk, what is she? I forgot, but like I remember seeing a video about that and I thought that was very cool. So before we actually go into the benefits of 4IR, what is 4IR? Let's define it. I know it as the fourth industrial revolution, and they've termed it as 4IR. But what does it mean? What is the fourth industrial revolution? Anyone can answer.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to, I don't know if it's difficult or not, but to try to actually define that so that if my five-year-old can understand that, but I'll try my best. So it is the infusion of technology, and I think sometimes people think that this is something that is so far away from them. A question that I can ask is that, during COVID, during COVID-19, even now, when last did you go to the bank? When last you go to, I don't know, do
whatever. Good question. Oh my God, do I even know what a bank looks like?
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying, that sometimes people think that, okay, this is actually something that is too far for me. Is this thing that, I don't know, is only designed for a specific type of people. So it is there that it is the infusion of technology, different types of technology. Patrick has spoken about robotics, artificial intelligence,
Internet of Things,
3D printing, which, I mean, these are the technologies that are changing the world. Like, I'm going back to that question that when last did you go to really step into a bank? Mm-hmm. It is exactly that. We have tools now, technologies that allow us to do things without us being in those physical spaces. So that is actually one of the things that, okay, when you're talking about such technologies, fire art technologies, what is it that we're referring to? I mean, big data that allows us to really function, like I said, that we, I can't remember that I went to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because of such technologies, we are able to do other things that we would normally not do if we did not have such technologies. So it is there that it is infusion of these different technologies. And at the University of Johannesburg, we have there's a space that we call Master Space. I think it's in the Faculty of Science, where you're actually showcasing technologies, 3D printing.
Mm.
So literally where you can 3D print anything. I mean, this plastic bottle, a cup that you will use for drinking your coffee, you can print that. But why is it? I think for me, what's important is that, so all these technologies for what? It has to obviously, things that a normal human being will do repeatedly, wasting time. That is where now technology is coming in to ensure that, okay, let's replace all these repetitive activities that a human being will normally take time to do and all of that. Mm-hmm. 3D printing that I'm mentioning, 3D printing, instead of having a manufacturing company that will use whatever, if it is manual or manual process to 3D print things, you can actually literally just 3D print those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the beauty about 3D printing is that sometimes it is just that you're getting one, you can just get one prototype. You have one product that you print, and once you decide that, you can actually replicate and make more of those products. And I think the other thing is that this year, for the first time, I actually visited, there's actually 3D printing of food. Food.
I saw that.
Yes.
Especially with meat products,
yes,
for example.
And so what is beautiful about that and why that specifically is that it's not only a problem in South Africa, it's a problem, I think, a global problem, where food is wasted in large quantities. So there's this professor that is working in the Department of Biotechnology where they're actually developing processes to 3D print using waste that will normally go into our landfills. So that is really technology to solve our problems, you know. It's not, I can go on and on, but it is that the infusion of technology and in our daily lives that will improve our lives as human beings.
Absolutely.
I hope that answers.
It makes a lot of sense. I basically heard you say that 4IR is how we use technology to make our lives more efficient and effective. Essentially, everything we do, the processes, we make them easier by using technology and integrating it,
yes,
into those processes. So even that example of the bank, for example, you're cutting the cost of me having to drive there or walk there,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
So that's already a cost saving and,
yes,
a time saving.
Yeah.
Also a safety thing, because I don't have to leave my house anymore, which means I don't have to be a victim to the elements, you know?
Yes.
So I'm safer because I've got this technology that's on my phone, you know? Which is great, but when people think about technology, they're also thinking electricity. I know that sounds really weird, but people are thinking electricity, they're thinking hardware, so things like your phones and all this technology that you would need, right? Then they think, but I am an African child from a village, like Dr. T. We don't have those things. So how does 4IR work for me?
Mm, okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much, my colleague. Yes, Dr. T has said here. 4IR is about technology, advancement of technology.
Mm-hmm.
We are not just saying it's about technology,
mm-hmm,
but it is about advancements of technology. Why advancements of technology? Because of these new developments that are happening. So the world has to go and go to the drawing board and see, okay, because of this and that, what is that we can do? That's how we see advancements of technologies. That's how we see artificial intelligence. That's how we see robotics and coding. That's how we see 3D printing and so forth. So 4IR is not just about about technology. It's also about the skills development. It's also about the soft skills, professionalism. We also, under 4IR, we also prepare people for being professionals. And that's why we have, in the defense insurance forces, we have collaboration. We also prepare the people of our community to go and to go to the workplace, engage all of people, collaborate, have a proper communication.
In
this fashion and also in digital fashion. Critical thinking, creativity, all those things, they are under FOIR umbrella.
Sure.
So someone will say, "Hi, Patrick, FOIR is just about robots. You guys, you are telling us about robotics, things that we don't have." So we come to your question. FOIR is not only about technology. Yes, technology is used as a source. That's why even when you check the study about strengths, he will tell you that technology is the source.
Okay.
But the main important thing here is about professionalism, is about our skills, is about competencies, is about computational thinking. Because I'm as a lecturer, FOIR helps me how. Because if I integrate FOIR in my teaching and learning, I also prepare those students to have computational thinking, being able to solve a problem using computer instead of going to the drawing board and use that method, old method whereby we can use pen and paper to solve the problem. Now we have technology. Technology is there to solve us, to improve our lives. That's why when you go to the definition of FOIR, it says it changed the way we live, how we live. We used to do things in this fashion. I used to go to the bank. Now I can do everything use my phone, smartphone, because of our Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, and so forth.
Yeah.
So FOIR is actually improving our lives. I think many people saw during COVID-19, because I used to make this scenario. People now realize that, okay, this FOIR, because we have to keep our curriculum going, especially in schools.
Yeah.
They realize the importance of FOIR now. Because through 4IR tools, they manage, under those tough conditions, they manage to make sure that they collaborate with their students or learners, engage, continue the curriculum. It's the purpose of 4IR. That's how it advanced.
Let me add some spice to what you're saying, because I hear that you're passionate and I love it, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to be the voice of Twitter right now, and it's not necessarily the nicest voice all the time. But people will say to you, okay, you're telling us it's going to change our lives. You know, we saw during COVID that students had to learn online, but students are saying, but we couldn't actually access these things because we were living in villages that didn't have fiber or whatever, so we actually couldn't get online. Or we coming from poor households where we can't afford the laptops and the tablets we need to be able to do our courses online. So those are the people who are saying, but then how does 4IR help me? Because yes, it sounds great, but I have to be at the university to actually get the impact of it, to really, you know, experience the benefits. So for that person, what is 4IR in their current environment? Where are they seeing it? Where are they seeing the impact of it?
Well, okay, actually, if you can check, not just in South Africa, but in Africa's continent, I think the problem that we have is about the resources, lack of resources, because of our socioeconomics. So my view on that one is that we cannot rely on government for us to proceed with 4IR. What we need to do, all stakeholders, communities must take part, because it's not going to benefit individuals, but the whole society. If we can invest more on 4IR, I think we can talk something. Because most of people in our communities, they responded very positively about 4IR. I did a research last year. I'm also having a project in the faculty of education. Our students, they responded very well. But now the challenge is about digital divide.
Okay.
This digital divide is caused by what? It's caused by lack of resources. We know what is 4IR. We can define it. We can talk as much as we can. But what's that we do to make sure that we engage practical? That's when I say we need to invest. First of all, let's invest in education. Let's invest in resources and infrastructure. Let's invest more so that our learners, our people, our society, learn more about this. Because we can have resources, we can have infrastructure, but if they don't know how to operate these tools, it's like we are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we need to do as a country, as a continent, we need to invest more. Stakeholders, private sectors, public sectors, government, individuals, business people, let's collaborate. is for the interest of our continent. It's for the interest of our country. Let's collaborate. Let's share resources. Sharing resources is very important because it shows the unity. It shows collaboration, the one that we was telling about.
Yeah.
So what do we need to do? Let's engage as a community. Let's invest, especially in our rural areas. Because if I can tell you something, last year I was doing a research in Limpopo about robotics and coding. Those learners in Limpopo, they are so smart. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not supporting people who say learners in rural areas, they are dumb, they don't know about technology. We teach them, they do the best. They are the best. They are the best. I can give you the scenario after this.
Yes.
So that's my view.
I love your view, actually, because people often think that solutions must come from universities
yeah.
or corporates or whatever.
Yeah.
But you find that when you educate somebody, they are the best suited to
yes.
create the
mm.
solutions for the environments
yes.
they come from. Because they understand that
yeah.
problem, right?
Yeah.
So you're right. If you empower the person with the tools, the education, then they'll go back and find their own innovative way
yeah.
to use that technology and the information that they have
mm.
to impact their communities positively.
Yeah.
Dr. T, what's your take on
this? Just to add on what Patrick has already said, I think really that is our reality in South Africa, and not only in South Africa, I think in so many countries in Africa. The issue about technology and access to technology, access to data, that is our reality. And I think really during the COVID-19 pandemic, where we were really at the peak of that, we really saw how the injustice,
yeah.
you know, it actually revealed more of the inequalities in our country. What's important, I think, is knowledge.
Yeah.
We need to share the knowledge. We cannot, I mean, we are saying that, okay, someone is sitting somewhere in the rural areas and they are asking the question that, okay, then how does that affect me? I don't even have a phone to do all of those things. So I mean this is not relevant for me. I think what's important is that even though people may not have access to all these devices, technology, what's important is the seed, that knowledge, which is a seed, so that people understand that, okay, most people will not live in their villages forever.
Mm-hmm.
I refer to high school learners that, okay, when I actually move out, when I complete my grade 12 and have the opportunity to go to varsity, there's another world out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is what this conversation should plant that seed, to say that there's actually another world.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not mean that for me to live in that world, I should wait until I'm in that world to start living there. Because
yes.
that may be too late. I like what Patrick has said, that he goes back home to... I do that during this week. It's research, it's our research. I'll be going to some of my high school in the area
mm-hmm.
to teach, to provide career guidance. It is the knowledge and the seed that we should continue plan, because the reality is that the inequality, we can sometimes, I mean, there are things that you can do something about, there are things that it may take some time for change to come. What's important is that what is it that we are doing, the little that we can do with what we have, where we are, I think that's what is important. So we should not really neglect the people that are in the rural areas and people that do not have access to all these 4R technologies, to think that, okay. And they should not, like, I like what you said, that when you give someone knowledge, you empower them.
Mm.
That should also be, but another thing is that someone might not even want knowledge, that they don't even know that, okay, I actually need that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we empower someone with such knowledge, we should continue doing that. I remember, I think a few years ago, I gave a talk somewhere to say that it should be each and everyone's responsibility to actually go back. If you are from a rural area, go back home and tell the young people, tell the learners about the fourth industrial revolution. It's our responsibility, but unfortunately, most of the times when people get to the other side, which is your Joburg and Varsity and all that, we tend to forget about those that don't know about this thing back home. So you ask about devices. Yes, that is our reality. You cannot run away from that. But it's what is it that we are doing with what we have. We have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we can actually go back home, go out there to share with the public, to say that you may say that I don't have this and that, but the reality is that this is the era we are living in. We're in the fourth industrial revolution era. In other countries, they're already talking about the fifth industrial revolution.
Whoa.
So you cannot really sit and say that, okay, I don't have, what is it that you're doing to remain relevant. I think that's the most important thing.
Yes. Oh, I love that you spoke about what is it that you're doing to remain relevant, right? And that's an important question, because this podcast is all about A, democratizing access to information for people who aren't privileged, who don't have access to these libraries, to people like you, you know? And what I love about you speaking, especially touching on that competitive advantage element, is how knowledge really sets you up to participate in the world on a global scale. And because technology has erased the borders, you are literally now competing with anyone else in the world who's doing exactly what you're doing. And that's why the educational part is so important, right? So we've got this thing. It's 4IR. We're learning about it. How, as a person in grade 12, what should I be thinking in terms of what to study, the careers that are available to me? Let's talk a bit about that.
Okay. let me start. What I can say now is that now let's... Our students, or our teachers, need to sit down with our learners in high schools, tell them about needs that we, the country is in need of, let me say that. Now, what I like about our current education curriculum in South Africa, they introduced what they call STEM.
Okay.
STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So, combined, it calls STEM. I think STEM is very important. Why? Because STEM respond to the needs of 4IR. Remember, 4IR is not only about South Africa, the whole world. In order for it to be competitive, you must be aligned with these skills developments. Competency skills, being able to use computer, being able to use this. We need mathematics people, we need to scientists, things like that, because of the needs of the world. So what is important? I can say STEM subjects are very important. Currently, I'm not saying others are not important, but STEM subjects are very important. So, to all our grade 12s, especially those who applied for next year, I advise them to focus more on their STEM courses or qualifications and so forth. They come here to university, they do science, they do whatever, technology. I'm telling you, the world will be them. We'll be looking for them. So they won't struggle even to get a job. Why? Because of the skills. They have skills. That's why even last year when we had our own session, we said the right or the good choices of their subjects, STEM subjects, is very important. It's very important because it responds to OER, it responds to skills development, it responds to computational thinking, it responds to skills for a changing world, it responds to soft skills. So after that, that means they're on the right track. Thank you.
I hear you. You said something there and I just want to shake things up a little bit. You know, because I understand the importance of STEM subjects. We've been hearing the government even talking about this. They're really pushing these kinds of subjects and competencies and that kind of thing. But what I've seen, for example, in robotics is the need for the human element, right? So, yes, we do need those people who think scientifically, mathematically, but tech only has value if it can mimic how people are and understand people's lived experiences. And that doesn't come from a tech brain. It comes from other people, the creatives in our society who know how to create the stories and create and communicate that value that tech and STEM has in those spaces. So I think what you're saying is very cool, but I just want to shake it up there and say, but then what about those creative careers, your psychologists, you know, even your content creators and how they're telling these stories? What about them? Because there are people who are listening and they're like, but this is what I do. I don't, so do I not participate in 4IR?
So that is the thing. I think one of the conversation that people are having is that these 4IR technologies are obviously replacing human beings in so many areas, so many sectors. So they're using the where they're taking the people's jobs, right? But I love what you said also, that there's always a human element behind it. But it's a robot, there's a human element behind it. So those are the new jobs that are actually being created. So as someone that wants to remain relevant, you need to step back and say, okay, I mean, banking sector, but I'm an engineer. There's a robot that does 1, 2, 3. When that robot is down, who's going to fix that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not a human being? So what skills are required for me to actually occupy such a position? Then you begin to prepare yourself accordingly. I mean, every technology, whether it does not matter what is it, what is a device, whatever it is, there's a human element behind it. So some of the new jobs that are created by technology or during the 4R era are those jobs that, okay, now that instead of having people that a face of a person, there's a robot, instead of having a person and now there's a robot, who manufactures the robots? I mean, let's start there.
Yeah.
Who manufactures the robots? Who really, everything, the instrumentation and everything that happens around there to ensure that that robot is functional? It's a human being around behind that. So on the other side, it is that, I mean, a simple device, an example that I can give is that one of the technologies that is used currently, which is 4R related, is to use biosensors for detection of pollutants in water and all that.
Yeah.
But it is just a device that you will use to either monitor or detect pollutants in your drinking water or wastewater, whatever the case is. But who manufactures those devices?
Mm-hmm.
It's a human being. So a human, instead of someone or physical person taking samples, and that can be replaced by a device or technology. But what I'm saying is that behind that technology, there's someone that will manufacture. If that is broken down, there's someone that needs to fix. It's not a robot that is going to be fixing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where now we need to be thinking, things that we need to be thinking of. In the banking industry, if you want to go into a banking industry, you need to be thinking that, okay, where is the industry going in terms of technology? And instead of just sitting and saying, the robots are there, they're taking our jobs, what are the new skills that are being developed by these technologies? So, like, honestly, it is that everywhere where technology is replacing a person, there's actually a new skill that is developed. So, as human beings, we need to be looking at those skills. Okay, now that this has been replaced by a technology or a robot, what skills are actually now open for us as human beings?
Okay, great. I mean, I completely understand that. So, let's take it down to a practical example,
yeah.
Right? My dad used to be a builder, right? Now, his job is going to be replaced maybe by 3D printers because they're going to make the bricks. I don't know, and a robot is going to build the house. So, what kind of career do I go into now if that those are the jobs that are going to be taken?
But I think in that space, you need to, one needs to understand, if you're talking about 3D printing, you need to understand what is 3D printing about. I mean, it's not just a robot that will just come build.
Yes.
The materials that are involved, materials that are used in the process. So you need to really understand the entire ecosystem for you to be able to participate in that space. And another example will be what? Okay, there are so many examples.
Even in food, for example.
I mean, yeah. Okay, no, it's fine. But the main examples that I can actually give. But it is there that... So the knowledge is not just us observing that, okay, now there's a 3D printing of houses.
Yeah.
I mean, that requires material. That requires... So it is there that, okay, now that there's this technology, what skills do I need as an individual to ensure that I remain relevant in that space?
You spoke about, well, at least you mentioned a word that's very important, ecosystem, right? So 4R is forcing all of us to understand how everything works together.
Yes.
Right? And that is why education is so important with 4R, because nothing works in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just create a technology that works on its own.
Yes.
And I love Patrick has been using this word collaboration this entire time. Because if it's an ecosystem, we have to collaborate to make things work, which is actually amplifying the need for human beings, human connection, human interaction, which is completely against what COVID did to us, which was separate us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very interesting how technology is reconnecting us in different ways and in functional ways. You know, we're connecting because we actually have to work together to make things happen. So I think that's pretty profound. And we have a lot of parents who listen to this podcast. So they're hearing, they're like, okay, my child, blah, 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 blah. But maybe the child is 14 right now, or even 10 years old. What are some of the things that parents should be allowing their kids to do? For example, gaming is a big thing, right? And there's a lot of tech behind that, and I'm sure it's going to evolve. but a lot of parents will say, oh, but my child is wasting time doing this thing. What are some things that parents should be allowing their kids to do now that actually nurture the skills and the mindset that they need to have to be 4IR competitive people?
Yeah.
This
is that here and colleague. Our parents, they need to know their kids first. Because we have what you call multiple intelligence. So, take your time to learn your child. My child is good in mathematics. My child is good in psychomotor skills, or psychomotor domains, ability to use hands skills.
Okay.
My child is good in science, or my child is good. These are the responsibilities of that. Then you build from what your child is already good at. Now, after you did that, at schools, as I said to you, these new technologies, particularly in the education system, they now allow kids to show up their skills, their intelligence. I was telling you about Limpopo. That those children, those learners, when I was there for training, they were scared. I was worried about my research. I was like, no. But after they understood how to operate these tools, there were a lot of creativity amongst those learners. Even the teacher said, Mr. Makubalo, I'm thinking that I have to inform the school so that we can take these learners to technical schools and take them to various departments in the province. Because of what they did for the school. They were creating a second place. But after that, they did alliance, they did a lot of things. So there were skills development, as you can see. So what I'm saying is that with this knowledge that they have, with this experience that they have, their interest, now let's work, parents must work with the school to say, my child is good in drawing, my child is good in what. Now, if we practice 4R, allow that learner to be encouraged to be taught more about his field or his interest using technology, because 4IR is everywhere. What I'm telling you, I had to ask about psychology. What I'm telling my sisters that 4IR is everywhere. What are we thinking about psychology? If that learner is going to be good in drawing technical skills, 4IR is there. They're going to use 4IR tools to improve the work, to be innovative. There's what we call it innovation. To solve the problem solving. All these things, they come under 4IR tools. All these things come under 4IR, artificial intelligence, 4IR new technologies. So the parents must know their kids, their interests, their weakness, and so forth. After knowing, remember parents are the public stakeholder. We are talking about education here. After knowing their children, they must go to school now to say, ma'am, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you please advise, because I already have something for my child. I can see that my child is good in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because for a child to be under 4, it's not only about mathematics. It's not only about science. It's about the skills that we have. How you apply 4IR now. How you integrate these skills in 4IR. If you are good in drawing or designing something, how are you going to integrate technology to improve this? How are you going to be relevant using 4IR tools or 4IR technologies? So 4IR is all over. Teachers, parents, stakeholders must come together. Because it's for the sake of our children. It's for the sake of South Africa. New South Africa will be because of these children.
Thank you, Dr. G. Yes, so I'll respond from a parent's perspective. Because I've got almost 4 and almost 6 year old.
Okay.
A simple thing is that allow the kids. You're saying that our parents will be saying, oh, we're wasting data or whatever. You can put restrictions on the phone or whatever tablet. But I will tell you now that the learning that takes place when my kids are actually playing with their tablets, we are moving into, we are already in the competitional world. So we cannot be, I think it is our parents that said to us that, okay, you cannot use a phone or I don't know, you know. But we cannot be doing that to our kids. Because we are actually preparing them to the world where they're going to be using these phones on 24/7. So we need to be conscious of that we are in that world. The 4-year-old, my kids have tablets. I restrict them restrictions, they can access whatever, but I ensure that I download. A simple thing can be there. Download those things that actually you begin to teach. The kids begin to learn at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, there's fourth industrial revolution. There are tools. When moving into the future, these are the jobs of the future, things like that. I think it goes back to what I said, that the reality of our world, the injustice, the inequalities, that is there. Unfortunately, I can be saying that, and someone on the other side, like, okay, I'm from the rural areas, my kids don't have which is the truth. But I'm just maybe referring to the parents that have resources, do not really say no to kids when they want to be playing with all these devices and all of these things, because that is the world that we are living in. It is a world of computers. And I think the learning should begin there, not when kids are in high school or coming to tertiary.
I love that. I think it's so cool. You actually make me think of how when you go to concerts these days, especially when you see American artists, they're there with the holograms of artists. So artists aren't even at the concert anymore. You know, like, we're really moving into a world where we have to reimagine everything, you know, and it takes from a young age developmentally being exposed to different ways of doing things. Because the way you would learn on a tablet is not the way you would learn reading a book. And that will impact how you create, how you imagine, how you do things.
Just to add on that, I think it's important that we actually, the generation that is learning, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't do that, especially for a black child, we're just going to be reinventing this the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be, in the next 5 years, 10 years to come, they're going to be learners or children that still don't understand what art is all about.
Yes.
So I think we need to take it upon ourselves. People that say, okay, even if you don't know everything about fire art, the little that you know about fire art, please transfer that knowledge to the next person. In fact, to the next person that you, like, after listening to the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and you know that, okay, there's someone somewhere home that does not know anything about fire art, transfer that knowledge. Because
yes.
if we don't do that, we're talking about inequalities. In the next 50 years, we're going to be experiencing the same thing. Because
yes.
I think with COVID, we have seen that it's the people that were the wealthy that continued with their high school. It's only those that went to your Model C schools that continued with studying.
Yeah.
I have cousins that are nephews and nieces at home that literally did not go to school for, I don't know, the longest time.
Mm.
But it should be our responsibility. Yeah. And parents in urban areas, parents that have resources and all of that, allow the kids to explore, because that is the world that we are living in today is not the world that I lived in in the past. So let us allow our kids to actually begin to reimagine the future, because that is really where we are.
I really love what you're saying, and I think so many people, when they think about 4IR, and you both highlighted this, they think about it as detached from the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick said, but 4IR is in everything that we do, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And a great example of this, I mean, I'm a marketer, I own a marketing agency,
mm-hmm.
and I share content online. I made the most money during COVID. Because before COVID, I was going to corporates and pitching and saying, you guys need to have video courses for your employees. You need to have a digital presence, right? Because the world is moving in that direction. Corporates are saying, no, but people come to work every day. We're fine. We're going to have in-house events. Boom, COVID hit. And what did they need?
Yes.
Video
yes.
courses. They
yes.
needed to have Zoom things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it literally, it was crazy how the world had to change so quickly.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that when technology is involved, change is rapid.
Yeah.
It's so quick that if you are not educated about the foundations, you're going to be completely left behind.
Yes.
This week is not the same as next week.
Yes.
yes.
And because there are no barriers to competition and there are no borders, it means that whatever the person in America who knows the most about AI or whatever
yes.
knows, you have to know
yes.
it too. Because the time, you know, that literally we're all on the same timeline,
yes.
same time zone, it doesn't matter anymore. And that's the danger of not educating yourself
yes.
about 4IR.
Yes.
Because you're literally obliterating yourself from history.
Sure.
You're just making yourself irrelevant.
Yeah.
And the world has to move in that way.
Mm.
We're traveling with technology. You don't have to leave your country.
Mm.
Now you can travel the world through technology. Mm. So it's really profound what you guys are saying, and I think people really need to understand from that perspective of, even as a student,
yeah.
your side hustle can be online.
Yes.
And that's using 4IR.
Yes.
You know, that's using the technology. You don't have to go and be a waitress
yes.
because you need extra money. Actually, you're learning from Dr. T, you're learning from Patrick. Do some courses for your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, study notes. Put them on a Facebook page.
Yes.
Make some money. Charge.
Yes.
That's the creativity that's
yes.
needed with 4IR,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And critical thinking, problem solving,
yes.
which is at the core of entrepreneurship. What is entrepreneurship? Solving problems.
Yes.
You know, so it's really cool that we've had this conversation. I think anybody listening should be able to now make it applicable to the real world and their own experience, that it's not just about building robots or the actual tech, it's also about how you use the tech.
Yes.
Not all of us are going to build it.
Yeah.
Some of us
yeah.
are just going to know how to use it really, really well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, what you're saying now, remind me something. You remember I'm an ambassador for 4IR?
Mm-hmm.
I used to post content about 4IR in my own social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So there were two principals from Western Cape. They approached me, saying that, no, Mr. Makubalo, actually we need to call you. I said, okay, yeah, I'm anonymous. He said, no, Mr. Patrick, we have, you know, and the principal is calling you Mr. That means you're only right, right?
Yes.
He said, no, Mr. Makubalo, hey, we have the problem here. We have this organization for leadership trust, school leadership trust. We have principals, we have SMTs and teachers
mm-hmm.
in Western Cape and Gauteng province. I said, okay. So the issue is here. We want to learn more about 4IR. Why? Because most of our teachers, they think like 4IR is about robotics and so forth. So, okay, hi, let's have our time. Let's schedule this. Let's engage online. You see now the first people, because of practicing 4IR to us. So we engaged via Teams. We had that 1 hour session. I taught them about 4IR,
mm-hmm.
particularly in education. I started by using the theories, frameworks, TPEC, TAM, Technological Acceptance Model, about improving teaching and learning using technology, improving pedagogic instructions using technology, improving learners' learning using technology, preparing learners for the future world using technology, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
They were so happy because they had that idea of robotics in their mind. Guys, these things about robotics is about what? We are too old for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're too old for that. Now, because you said you are too old, we're going to remove that in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from now onwards, you are going to be the ambassador for IR in Western Cape. So we started there. We had sessions. Even next week, we're going to have a scholar session.
Mm-hmm.
They are so happy about 4IR. They are old people.
Yes.
Imagine, people you will talk about that 4IR is not about old people, it's about youth. I'm telling you that most teachers in Western Cape that I work with under that organization, they are old.
Mm-hmm.
But they are happy about this. Our colleagues in Limpopo, they are old.
Mm-hmm.
They are so happy about it. They want training other teachers about how to use robots,
yeah.
how to use robotics, how to code, how to use a computer to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing, it needs us to educate.
Mm-hmm.
It needs the society to engage. It needs society to collaborate. You have knowledge about this, share with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know this 4IR about 1, 2, 3? You are doing grade 12, or you are working in what? Do you know that 4IR can improve work conditions?
Yeah.
Do you know that 4IR can improve our economy? You will ask her, or she will ask you how. Then you share, you have conversation.
mm-hmm.
You have conversation with that person. After that, she's going to pass the message. You see now the purpose of unity. You see now the purpose of teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
You see the purpose of collaboration, ability to share ideas,
yeah.
to pass knowledge, transfer knowledge to from one person to another. If we can do that, we can have a good society that will understand, that will have knowledge, because we work together. We are not a selfish society.
Mm-hmm.
I know something, let me share with my colleague, let me share with someone. We are going somewhere.
Absolutely. You know, and I think a lot of the time you're absolutely right. Older people, once they understand 4IR, they love it even more than the young people.
That's true.
Because it really does change their
yes.
lives. It makes it more efficient, more effective.
Yes.
They even get to be more creative. They
yes.
have more time.
More time,
like,
yes.
it really is a really awesome thing once you understand it. And I think for a lot of people listening, I want them to also think about when we use the term fourth industrial revolution, there's a history behind this, right? There's been a first, there's been a second, there's been a third, there's a fourth. And the industrial revolutions, what ties them together is the fact that it's how society changed by how we made work more efficient and effective over time. So first it started with the factories, and then it changed over time, it evolved, right?
Yes.
So it's not that arbitrary of a concept. It's literally about the evolution of how we work.
Mm.
And that's, people have always worked, people have always tried to make this more efficient, and they've tried to make people, the quality of life at work, better,
yes,
using,
yes,
technology,
yes,
even in those factories in the first industrial revolution.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so guys, please research the first industrial revolution, research all of them, and you'll actually be able to understand how practically they tie together and how just effortlessly technology has actually evolved.
Yes.
Mm, yes.
That it's really not that tough of a thing. I own a marketing company. We code software for some of our clients. I didn't go and learn that.
Mm-hmm.
I taught myself.
Yes.
Because I understood the theory behind,
yes,
mm-hmm,
yes,
the evolution of technology.
Yes.
You know, so people really need to, like you said, just don't be so afraid of learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so afraid of it because it's called tech,
yes,
or revolution.
Yes. Yes.
Or, you know, it's really not that big of a thing. I'm a marketer,
yes,
I understand it.
Yes.
You're a teacher, you understand.
Yes.
You're an engineer, you understand. We're so different.
Yes.
And here we are talking about this and we can all relate.
Yeah.
Dr. T, your final words for anybody listening to this podcast?
My final word will be, I think COVID-19 has really showed us that we should not wait for something to disrupt that like it.
Mm.
That disruption was uncalled for. So, which is something, technology is disrupting every single thing. And it is only the ones that are prepared for the change that will remain relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So, do not wait for another revolution to disrupt you, for you to begin to say, okay, I really need to learn about technology and everything. Like we are saying, that technology is just a tool. And all of this, the first, the second, just that we are, I think the world has made so much noise about 4IR. All of a sudden we're thinking that, okay, this is something new. It's just the evolution of technology. So let not anything that will come in the future disrupt us,
mm-hmm,
like what COVID-19 has done. And that applies to technology and all the revolutions that will come. It may be 10, 15, whatever, it is still a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It is still a tool. That's one thing that we need to understand. It is a tool that is evolving. What will remain important is that how do you as an individual prepare to be relevant in that space?
I love it. How do you as an individual prepare yourself to be relevant through all the evolutions of life and society? Patrick, our passionate panelists, please tell us, what are your closing words for anyone who's listening?
Okay, this there's an academic author by the name of Dadada.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and check in Google Scholar and read his articles. He used to say, using technology nowadays is not a matter of choice, but it's a necessity of today's developments driven by technology. So what I can say to our community, our people there, please don't be shy to take a risk. If you don't know how to use a laptop, for example, to start now, learn how to use technology, think on how this technology can solve the problem or can improve the way you live, the way you work, and so forth. So, what I can say in closing, please, you must keep on following us on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Makwala, Dr. T, Dr. Diboho, and the university website.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything there for them.
Mm-hmm.
If they have questions, they can just share those questions there. We are happy to engage with them. And also, we have new courses here at UJ, Artificial Intelligence. I think it can help them more on how to learn more about 4IR and both theory and practically. So we must take a risk. Please, I know we have limited resources, but let's work with what we have. Thank you so much.
Using technology now is not a matter of choice.
Mm. Yes, yes.
That's a powerful way to end this podcast, right? And thank you, Patrick. You could have been a host too. Go find our social media pages, do all the things. And yeah, I was thinking that you'd be nervous, but you're here, inspiring all of us. Dr. T, thank you so much as well. I mean, you've both made this podcast so robust and you've given us different perspectives and angles to look at this thing. So thank you for your input, and I'm hoping that anyone who's listening to this is going to rush to the UJ website and actually look at what UJ has to offer, because guys, it's really cool. I mean, I'm not even just saying this as somebody who was an ambassador or is now. I've actually checked it out. I've also engaged with some of the stuff, and it's fun, you know, and it is cutting edge. I know that UJ has won awards for a lot of the work that they're doing in the 4IR space.
Yes.
So that speaks to the power of what you guys are doing.
Yes.
And
thank you so much.
Pouring into
thank
our communities in that
us.
Way.
Thank you
so much. Guys, you heard this podcast. It was not only informative, but also relevant to our lived experiences. And I'm hoping that in everything that Dr. T and Patrick have said, that you are changing your mindset about technology in your life, about learning new things, and about experimenting and being creative. It's all on you. 4IR is giving you the power to reimagine the world that you want to see and actually build it. And that's powerful. Goodbye. I love you all. I'll see you on another episode. And thank you for listening.